That's just, the Lord speaks, the Lord confirms, the Lord affirms, the Lord assures. When you get a word all by yourself from the Lord, watch for it to manifest. Remember we said to realize the revelation. Sometimes we get a word, we grab a hold of that word, we say, yeah, that's for me. And then rather than realizing the revelation, rather than holding for the revelation of it, all of a sudden we see the things around us. We see the darkness. We see the storm. We see this, we see that. So all we think about is the darkness and the storm. And there is that nice, warm, inviting, lighted place that we can go and we can get into and be a part of. And the enemy says, well, you can't go to that place. That's not for you. That's not what you're experiencing, so it's not for you. And you know, we listen far more to the enemy than we should. You realize that, don't you? You listen to the enemy more than you should. And then you repeat what the enemy has to say more than you should. And you think about what the enemy has to say more than you should. And so we sit in the darkness more than we should. This won't be Diet Coke or fluff. This will be life, if you'll receive it. We've been fortunate. I believe God has given us life for a lot of years. And we're seeing the fruit of it. We literally reach around the world from here. We need to recognize that. We need to realize that when we pray in tongues, we deposit in arsenals. That God knows the strategic places. That God is accomplishing great things. Not just with ours, but with ours. With our prayers. Brother Rogers recognizes that the Lord has done something as a result of their linking up with us. He realizes it more than we do. He appreciates it more than we do. That needs to stop. We need to appreciate it as well. We need to be built up and encouraged and strengthened when we see that light. We need to stand with the things that God has said. We need to declare the things that God has said. We need to stand on the promises of God. Because it's not about you or me, it's about Him. And when we recognize that things are about Him, then all the other things can be added to us, but they don't mean anything compared to Him. If you got every single problem that you have solved today, the manifestation of it today, it would be solved. But then what? Then if your focus is not on God, you'll find a new problem. God comes by with solutions and we don't think the solution is the solution. Because it's not the solution that we were thinking of. Rather than being thankful for the solution that He's provided and rejoicing in it. Shouting a little about it. Glorifying Him for it. Those who have sat in darkness have seen a great light. But then what? Do you know that you can see the great light and do nothing with it? Do you know that you can knock on the door and hear the Lord say, "Come on in!" and do nothing with it? Peek in and say, "Well, yeah, but, you know, I wouldn't want to forget about my troubles and just step into that. I mean, after all, I got my troubles. Somebody's got to worry about my troubles. I think God covered that. Cast your cares upon God because He cares for you." But you know, that's the very reason, oftentimes, that's the very reason that people don't enter into what the Lord has for them, because they don't want to leave what's keeping them from Him. Because God says, "Come in, it will be fine." And the enemy says, "Yeah, but what about all this?" Well, don't worry about leaving that behind. Step in. Step in. Isn't that what the Lord said? Step in. And then the Lord says, you can't live on Diet Coke and cotton candy. Not for long, anyway. Right? Ephesians chapter 4. Read with me if you have your Bible. Doesn't matter what translation you got. So as a prisoner for the Lord, I beg you to live the way God's people should live. Let's read that together again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. So as a prisoner for the Lord, I beg you to live the way God's people should live. I'm reading the easy to read version. They're all going to say approximately the same thing. Paul says, live the way God's people should live. Why? Because he chose you to be his. What does another translation say there?
Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called.
Okay. I like the easy to read version that adds, because you were chosen to be his. Chosen to be his sounds different than the calling you were called, right? Right. Live the way he wants you to live. Walk worthy of the calling. Okay? Walk worthy of the calling. And a lot of people think, well, I don't know if I'm called. You were called. Say, I was called. Okay? And so he says, because he chose you to be his. When I was first saved and somebody said, you're called to preach. I said, how do you know? You get a phone call. Somebody write it on the wall. What do you mean? What makes you think that? I don't want to do that. Oh, but you're called. No, not as far as I could tell. Not in my hearing. I hadn't heard it. But I can hear that God has chosen me to be his. Now, if I know that God has chosen me to be his, if I read his word, if I digest his word, I will see that we were called, we were chosen, and we were sent. You are all called to preach. The problem is some people don't want to preach their lifestyle. They want to preach in a pulpit, or they want to be famous. They want to be something. And God says, lifestyle. You're preaching. You're saying something to somebody. So you were chosen to be his. So if you were chosen to be his, and God said to you this morning, come on in, it's great, and you walk out of here and say, I don't know what I'm going to do. Everything is just so terrible. What are you preaching? If you do that, please give a disclaimer to it and say, that's not what our pastor said in church today. That's just my personal opinion. It stinks, and I know it, but it's what I'm saying. Now, after you do that once or twice, you'll say, what did I just say? Oh, I just said the truth. If I don't say what the word says, it stinks, and I know it. Sounds to me like it'd be better to come into what God is calling us to than stand out in the darkness, doesn't it? Okay, we weren't supposed to preach about that. If we start at the first verse, you all know that I'll be late for jail. So we're going to move on and hit something else. But that's important. You were chosen to be his. That's why he says, I want you to live the way God wants you to live, because you were chosen to be his. I didn't choose my children. My children came. And I chose to keep them. Right? My wife came and I chose her. And when I chose her, or I chose my children, I took on the responsibility that is involved in that. And if I, being evil, know how to do that, how much more will my Heavenly Father do that? And not only has God chosen us, and not only has he called us, and not only has he called for us to live the way that he wants us to live, but with that calling, he has given us everything that we need to do in order to do it. He's not a sometimes God. He's an all-the-time God. He's not sometimes home when we knock. He's all-the-time home when we knock. The truth of the matter is he has set before us an open door that no man can shut. Sometimes we're knocking on an open door, wanting something special when all we have to do is walk in. So let's move up to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. You must be made new in your hearts and in your thinking. Be that new person who was made to be like God, truly good and pleasing to Him. You must be made new. Now this came after he had said in verse 17, I have something from the Lord to tell you. I warn you, don't continue living like those who don't believe. Their thoughts are worth nothing. Listen. If we want the Word to work in our life, then we need to be honest about what we read. And if I read something that says, don't continue to live like those who don't believe, I need to look at myself and say, wow, I've just been living like somebody who doesn't believe. I've been thinking, I've been speaking. The longer that you do that, the easier it is to continue to do it. And the longer you do that and the easier it is to continue to do that, the further along you will be in convincing yourself that this is just the way that it is and I'm okay. But somewhere along the way, we've got to listen to the Holy Spirit that reminds us, you're acting like somebody that doesn't even believe. This is not condemning, this is revelatory. Realize the revelation, okay? Realize that if we're not acting like we believe, we're not acting like we believe. If we're not speaking like we believe, then we're not speaking like we believe. Every one of us knows somebody that says, oh yes, I believe in God, and we know that most of their life reveals that they don't believe what He says. Well, what about us? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God, my Savior and my King. Lord, give us ears to hear when the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart reveal anything but believing. See, if we get honest with ourselves, then we see those things and those things shock us and we won't let them mock us, we'll move them out. Now, we can receive that and be set free, or we can say, well, that can't be me. I'll tell you, my approach to those kind of things is always to say, it must be me because I just read it. And so show me. Show me. Hey, I would rather find out with a question than with a brick wall. God will answer our questions. You know what the Lord said to me today? We were sitting there worshiping, and God said, what if I spoke like I spoke over Jesus? What if I did that right now? I said, I don't know, Lord. I don't know. I think that I would bury myself a little bit under the carpet, if I could, in awe. What if he spoke with a voice like that? Would we listen? What if he spoke through a sister and said, come on in! Sorry, Donna. Or through another sister. You can't live on fluff. Well, see, we can brush them off if we want to. But let me give you a little encouragement. Don't want to. Take it as what it is. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, so is all prophecy. Don't forget those things that the Lord says. Think on these things, the Lord says. Consider these things and consider your ways. Not only are their thoughts worth nothing, they have no understanding and they know nothing because they refuse to listen. Don't be someone who refuses to listen. This must be for somebody else. Somebody out there must need to hear this on the internet because it certainly couldn't be for any of you, correct? Well, if you're thinking it's not for you, it is just exactly for you. Sometimes it's just so fun, isn't it? God speaks to our hearts. Hallelujah. So they can't live the life that God gives. We refuse to listen. They don't know anything. So they can't live the life that God lives. What keeps us from the life that God lives? We do. Right? We keep us from the life that God gives. Because we don't just come on in. Right? Isn't that right? I mean, if he says come in and he says he has this and he says that he has that, then, you know, the only thing that can keep us from the things that God has for us is unbelief. Yeah, the only thing that can limit the ministry of Jesus is unbelief. Jesus himself, when he was on the earth, it said he couldn't do very much in his hometown because of unbelief. So it stands to reason that the only thing that can limit his ministry here and now is unbelief. It's not always fun to take responsibility for our own actions. But it's always beneficial. No matter what, it's beneficial. I've heard, and I'm sure you've heard, testimonies of people who got saved and ultimately turned themselves in for crimes that they committed. And it was beneficial. Even if they went to jail, it was beneficial because they were right with God. Lord, help my unbelief. There's nothing wrong with saying that to the Lord. Help my unbelief. With being honest and saying, God, nothing's impossible for you. The only cog in this wrench in this cog must be me. Something's keeping me from flowing in what you have for me. Is my failure to trust you, Lord, limiting what you can do about the things that need to be taken care of? I think I'm trusting you, Lord, but if I'm not trusting you, show me. Lord, you've given me understanding, but I don't understand it, so help me. Rather than just saying, well, I don't understand it, so it must not be for me. If part of it seems to be for you, wait upon the Lord. Let him renew your strength. So you must be made new, verse 23. Be that new person who was made to be like God. Wow. That new person who was made to be like God. Wow. I was made to be like God? Well, it makes sense, since God said, let us make man in our image. But he didn't really mean that. Well, why did he say it if he didn't really mean it? How many things has God said that he doesn't really mean? Where in the Bible did God ever say, just kidding? I'm reading in Jeremiah now, and oh man, Jeremiah's torn apart, and God says things that tear you apart more, and you go, oh, boy, I'm glad I live under a new covenant, and maybe though I could learn something from the old covenant that would make me, in fear and trembling, hold on to the new covenant. God made a lot of great promises and a lot of not so great promises in the old covenant. Like, I'm going to destroy them. It's time for them to pay for what they've done. Oh, Jesus came so we don't have to pay for what we've done. We can come in and enjoy. I've come that they might have life and abundantly. I've come that they might be completely happy. That's part of it. But completely happy is only with being in. And if we are in, then we should be completely happy. And we should allow the joy of the Lord to be our strength and override, no matter what it is, just overcome the problem. Last night, we watched a movie that I don't always get to see all of movies when they go on in the house. I catch a little part here and I catch a little part there, and then maybe I just don't get locked in on remembering, so there's a lot that I don't see. But anyway, it was Sweet Home Alabama, okay, and then something else was taking place in the house and stuff like that, and Vicki and I were getting ready to go to bed, and I said, well, not everybody can land a whale like you did. She didn't hear like you did. And somehow she gets, well, right out of Fiddler on the Roof. How often does a girl get a compliment like that? And I thought, honey, you didn't hear what I said. I said, you landed a whale. And we both just, okay, you had to be there. But you see, her first thinking was, I must be getting a little plump. But that wasn't what I was saying. I was saying, not everybody gets a catch like this, you know? And so I about drowned in the shower laughing. I knew what I meant. She didn't know what I meant. But when she heard what I meant, that made it all better. We need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. We need to take it as the truth that it is, because the Lord goes on and says, okay, we all belong to each other. We're in the same body. We all have a calling. We all have these things on us. We all have a ministry. We all have people who hear us and who receive from us. You know, Rachel has the social media counseling service with a bunch of people who are young, and she ends up spending more time and sometimes more minutes on the phone. She's got to remember who she's talking to so that the rest of us have a couple of minutes to use, you know. But that's what she does. She takes the opportunity. You see, she has her own problems, but she helps other people with theirs. And God has put in us the things to help other people, and when you're helping other people, your other stuff can get taken care of. But if all we can think about is our own stuff, we don't take care of ourselves, and we don't take care of anybody else. And in fact, what we do is we reveal what we don't know, and we often say things that don't help anybody at all. You got to be made new. Goes on to say, so you must stop telling lies. Well, that's obvious. We shouldn't lie. We know we shouldn't lie. But if we say something that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that's the worst lie we can tell. But anyway, this is not talking about that. You must always speak the truth to each other because we all belong to each other and in the same body. And when you're angry, don't let that anger make you sin. And don't stay angry all day. And don't give the devil a way to defeat you. And whoever has been stealing must stop it and start working. And they must use their hands for doing something good. And then they will have something to share with those who are poor. And when you talk, don't say anything bad, but say the good things that people need. Whatever will help them grow stronger. And then what you say will be a blessing to those who hear you. And don't make the Holy Spirit sad. God gave you His Spirit as proof that you belong to Him and that He will keep you safe until the day He makes you free. And never be bitter, angry, or mad. Never shout angrily or say things that hurt others. Never do anything evil. Well, that's easy. Sure explains why we need to be made brand new, doesn't it? It also explains why we need to be aware. Why we need to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Because the Spirit of the Lord will check us and keep us and guide us. We've got to be willing to wait for the light, folks. Wait for the light. If you were driving down the road and your lights went off, would you just keep driving? Have you ever met somebody that came by you with their lights off? The first thought in your mind wasn't, wow, that's amazing that they can drive with their lights off. If that was your first thought, praise God, you are absolutely sanctified. Your first thought would be just about to drive into the ditch thinking, wow, well, they can see you. When I was in Russia the first few times and we would drive in the country, I was always amazed. People would be out there driving with their lights off. Because they didn't have their cars, didn't have everything that always kept their batteries good, and their batteries weren't always so good. And so somehow or another, driving with their lights off helped their batteries and made them last longer. I guess it was like if they drove with their lights off, they had a better chance of it starting the next time they shut it off. But man, that was freaky. You're driving along and, you know, you're about 10 feet from somebody and all of a sudden their lights come on. I'm going, what's up with these people? Why in the world are they driving around with their lights off? They're crazy. But if we be honest, sometimes we're driving around with the lights off. And if a road is smooth, you can sometimes go a long ways with your lights off and think it's going pretty well. Do you know that your road can get real smooth when you choose to go in darkness? Because the enemy's not going to try to stop that progress one little bit. And so down the road we go in darkness. I guess I must have taken the right path. My light must be on because I'm doing quite well. Everything's going smooth. This is great. The Holy Spirit is saying, turn around. What? Oh, must have just been me. We keep going. Then all of a sudden, unfortunately, if we don't listen to that check of the Spirit and pull over and get the light, a lot of times it takes a wall. We crash because we've been driving in the darkness. But isn't it good to know that God rescues us even when we've crashed? And then He's given us everything that we need to fix it. We've got to be made new and we've got to wait for the light. I mean, we're all smart enough to know that if our lights go off driving, we're going to pull over. We're at least going to drive slow on the shoulder, you know. But ideally, we'll just pull over and we'll try to figure out what caused the problem. And we'll begin to pray in tongues if we are so inclined to do such things. What am I shunting? And if we have cell phone service, we're going to call somebody for some help. And at the very, very at least resort, We'll sit until the sun comes up. We'll wait for the light. And then we will get somewhere and get it fixed before the next time it gets dark. Now that sounds like a good spiritual plan, doesn't it? Wait for the light. Fix the problem. And be made new again. Paul said that I died, so it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So the sin, the things that I do, are no longer me. I don't do them, but the sin that is within me does them. I still got sin in me. We still have the ability to be selfish. We still have the ability to be bitter. We have the ability to be unforgiving. We have the ability to be unbelieving. We have way too much ability to be un. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We also have an ability to overcome those uns. My ability to believe is greater than my ability to unbelieve if I choose that, if I come on in. If I don't pacify myself with Diet Coke and cotton candy. Not be satisfied with anybody, anything but the meat of the word. Hey, there isn't anything wrong with the word of God correcting us. There isn't even anything wrong with walls correcting us, as long as we're corrected. There isn't anything wrong with a fender bender, but don't back up and hit the wall until you total the vehicle. But there is something wrong with a fender bender and blaming somebody other than ourselves. If only so-and-so wouldn't have done such-and-such. Well, I wouldn't be there this way if that hadn't happened. You've been made more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens you. So we have to decide. We have to make those decisions. We have to be made new and newer and newer and being renewed in the Spirit. And wait for the light to shine. If it needs to shine instantaneously and the problem needs to be fixed instantaneously, God's perfectly capable of doing that. But if it's something that takes time, then fine, because in your faith and patience, receive that which the Lord has promised. When you go to a doctor's office or any of those places, they have all kinds of magazines laying around. It's to get your mind off of your weight, I think. It's so you have something to do, so you're not sitting there going nuts. They're trying to help you be spiritual. God's given us plenty so that when what he has promised us is still coming, we're patiently waiting. And being thankful that we have an appointment. And thankful that it's with the best physician in the world. The best ever. And that we're his favorite. Because he chose us to be like him. And so we can rejoice beforehand. We can rejoice during. And we can rejoice forever. And we can remind ourselves that the Lord managed this, he can manage this. The Lord did that. What he's done for others, he'll do for me. You know? You read the praise report and you see what those people received, and those people receive it and they go and tell somebody about what God did for them. And because that word is spreading, then Brother Rogers gets phone calls to go and pray for people because somebody said that Brother Rogers prayed for them, and so he tells them, I'll pray for you, but now you pray for somebody. There's more important things than our problems. It's the Word of God. It's the being made new and waiting for the light when we need to be renewed. Now, most of us here are old enough that we recognize that we can't read in the dark as well as we once could. Now, I have noticed that. I have also noticed that my reading glasses have gone up in number. Not just numbers of the number around the house, but in number. It used to be that anything over a 1 made me a little nauseous. And then it was anything over a 1.25 made me a little nauseous. And now, depending upon what I'm trying to read, I'll grab a 2.0. I can't wear them for a long time, necessarily. But they help. And in the dark, I just cannot read very well at all. Signs, don't get me wrong, I can drive, that's okay. But reading, you know, print in the dark just doesn't work so good. And living in the dark doesn't work at all. Wait for the light, folks. Look forward to being renewed and made new. Get the fenders fixed. Get the attitudes fixed. Get the bitterness fixed. Get those things fixed, because God says, you have that stuff, you're sitting in the darkness. You don't have understanding. You don't know what you're doing. I don't want to live that way. And you don't either want to live that way. And yet, if we're honest, we sometimes do. Because, well, we're getting along and everything hasn't fallen apart and maybe it'll be okay and maybe this is the way it was meant to be and this and that and the other thing. But all the time the Holy Spirit is just saying, this is not how God intended it to be. Have what God intended you to have. And stop and wait till it gets there. Don't try to push it along. All those years ago, I had a full tank of gas in that van, but the other one was empty, and the thing wouldn't switch. I didn't get out and try to push that van to Highmore. I was smart enough not to do that. But there have been times when I tried to push something along that was stalled, times when I nurtured my anger. Walked along in unbelief, believing that I was believing. There's times. But God's faithful. God's faithful and He's just. And He forgives me for those times. And He says, come on in! Come into where you belong. Don't do anything evil. It's not in your makeup. You can't naturally do anything evil now because you're supernatural. You have to make a choice to do something evil. You have to on purpose be evil. Because naturally, you'll do what's right. Naturally, you'll speak what God says. Because He that dwells in you richly. So we become naturally supernatural. Because we don't want to do anything evil. Because we want to be made new. Because we don't want to walk in without understanding. Because, you know, we want the things that God wants for us because God's put that in us. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you that you have given us the keys to life, the keys to the kingdom. And you have given us revelation. Holy Spirit, help us to realize the revelation. As we increase our expectancy upon the kingdom of God. Thank you for welcoming us in. Thank you that where you are, there is pleasure forevermore. Even in the worst of circumstances, there's pleasure in you. Help us, Lord, to choose the pleasure, to choose you, to wait upon you, to take comfort in knowing that the light is always available for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.